Good morning. All right, so I'm just going to jump right into it today. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 7. If you didn't bring your Bibles, the verses will be up top. We will be starting in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now let that sink in. These words aren't for the pagans or the thieves. They're not for the agnostic or the atheist. They're not for the Muslim, the Hindu, or any followers of false religions. These are to his church, his followers, those who call him Lord. People who lead, serve, teach, and even perform miracles. They sound the part, they look the part, and yet when they stand before Jesus, he says the one thing that they never expected, I never knew you. That should shake us. It should make each of us stop and ask, do I know him or do I just know about him? Modern church culture often equates activity with intimacy. But let me be clear, activity does not equal intimacy. Busyness does not mean belief. Serving does not mean surrender. You can have a full ministry calendar in an empty heart. You can be known by people and still be unknown to him. We're not promised tomorrow. Heck, we're not even promised the end of this day. Yet so many of us gamble eternity. Yet so many gamble with eternity because they've confused doing with devotion. These words from Jesus have dominated my thoughts for the last 2 weeks. I had a completely different message planned for today, but the Holy Spirit made it clear this needed to be said. Because it is so possible to be close to the things of God, yet so far from the heart of God. You look around this room, familiar faces, deeply involved in ministry. They talk the talk. They walk the walk. But if they died today, would they hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Or would they hear the most horrifying words in all of Scripture? I never knew you. That's eternal separation. That's a weight that should make us fall to our knees. And here's the truth. You can't fake your way through that conversation. On that day, all the noise, all the pretending falls silent. Titles, platforms, ministry names, they all mean nothing. Jesus isn't impressed with titles. He's looking for truth. The question that this passage forces us to ask isn't, what have I done for God? It's, do I know him and does he know me? I know what it's like to look alive but be dead inside. I grew up in the church. I knew the songs. I led worship. I memorized verses. I can quote scripture like a walking library. I would have been a great Awana kid. I sounded spiritual. I looked the part. But here's the truth. I wasn't known by Christ. I was fake like the fig tree. From a distance, I looked alive. But up close, there was nothing there. Inside, my heart was hollow. I was performing. I was busy. I was visible, but I was empty. Church became a checklist. Faith became a show. Jesus became a name I used, not a Savior I loved. I wasn't devoted. I was distracted. And all it took was a little bit of peer pressure. And I walked away. I was dead, and God knew it. But here's the good news. The same Jesus who cursed that fig tree has the power to bring that tree back to life. For over 20 years, he let me chase the world and all its empty promises. Even in my rebellion, he never stopped chasing me. He chased me all the way down to Nicaragua, thousands of miles from home, a place where I thought I could run and hide. But no, he sent a missionary right into my path. Her and I talked about Jesus for hours, the Old and New Testament, about grace and faith. And before she left, she handed me her own Bible, this one right here. And you might think that was the moment that I surrendered. No. Was I broken? Yes. But I wasn't looking for him. I preferred the bottle in one hand and a bag in the other. I wanted peace, but on my terms. God pursued me relentlessly. That Bible, that conversation, that encounter, it never left me alone. I wasn't looking for him, but he was looking for me. That's mercy. Because even when we're dead inside, even when our lives are nothing but smoke and mirrors, God pursues. He calls. He waits. He loves. And when we finally stop running, he restores. And that's what God did in my story. And the same thing that Jesus did with the fig tree, he just exposed what was already dead. Because long before he restores, he reveals. Long before he brings life, he confronts what's dead. He doesn't expose to shame. He exposes to save. In Matthew 21, starting in 18, Jesus gives us a picture of that kind of holy confrontation. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it and found nothing on it except leaves. And then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. From a distance, it looked alive, vibrant, promising. But up close, it was empty. And that's the danger for all of us. We can look spiritual, go to church, lead ministries, give generously, look and sound like disciples, but still be barren inside. Smoke and mirrors that fool people, but never God. Activity without intimacy is not devotion. Performance without surrender is not faithfulness. That fig tree didn't die because it was ugly. It died because it was empty. And the same Jesus who cursed that tree has the power to bring life again. I know because I believe in proof. I was that tree. Leafy and lifeless, dead inside, and destined for hell. But his love never gave up on me. He pursued me through rebellion, met me in darkness, chased me to Nicaragua, put his word in my hand, and wouldn't stop whispering until I finally broke. When I finally surrendered, I realized he wasn't chasing me to punish me. He was chasing me to restore me. That's who he is. He just doesn't curse trees. He brings the dead ones back to life. He doesn't just expose sin. He heals souls. The choice is yours. You can keep running, pretending, hiding behind leaves, or you can surrender. Don't risk being eternally separated. You only get one life to live, only one chance to know him. We're not promised tomorrow. So maybe today, right here, right now, is your moment to stop running, to come to his feet, to sit like Mary, to let him restore what has been lost, Jesus shows us exactly what surrender looks like in Luke 10 with the story of Mary and Martha. If the fig tree exposes empty religion, Mary reveals true devotion. Martha was distracted by all the preparations. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Martha wasn't wrong for serving. Her heart wanted to honor Jesus. But she let the work replace the worship. She was in the same house as the Son of God, but too busy to sit with him. How often is that us? How often are we cleaning, planning, volunteering, building, serving, and somewhere in all that movement, we forget to sit with him? Mary, on the other hand, she wasn't trying to prove herself or earn approval. She simply sat in his presence. She brought nothing but her heart, and that was all that he wanted. Jesus said, "Mary has chosen what is better." The better wasn't the meal or the service. It was the relationship. It was being close enough to hear his heartbeat. What part of your life have you given to duty instead of devotion? Are you working for him while ignoring him? Doing for him while not being with him? We live in a world that celebrates performance and busyness, but Jesus calls you to presence. He doesn't just want your hands, he wants your heart. He doesn't just want your service, he wants your surrender. So how do we bear fruit? How do we make sure that when that day comes, when we stand before Jesus, he knows us? He answers that question for himself in John 15. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say try harder, work more, perform better. He says, remain. Fruitfulness doesn't come from doing more. It comes from being with him. It comes from surrender, devotion. Mary chose the better. The fig tree withered because it was empty. And the disciples of Matthew 7 were rejected because their hearts were never aligned with his. True fruit doesn't come from busyness, performance, or appearances. It comes from abiding in the source of life. When Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing," he's not rebuking us. He's rescuing us. He's saying, "Stop pretending you can produce life apart from me. Stop trying to do this on your own. Sit at his feet. Stay in his presence." He doesn't just want part of you. He wants all of you. The work we do, the service, the ministry, the giving, it's all meant to be overflow from our worship. When the worship runs dry, the work becomes empty. But when we remain in him, the fruit grows naturally. Maybe you're in a season right now where God's calling you to pull back, to rest, to return to true worship. Not to quit serving, but to remember why you served in the first place. Or maybe your hands are full, yet your heart is bowed at his feet. If that's you, stay there. Guard it fiercely. The secret to fruitfulness is not doing more for Jesus. It's doing more with Jesus. This life is vapor. We're here for a moment and then gone. You can leave this room, step in your car, and never make it home. Yet so many of us live like tomorrow is guaranteed. Like heaven is automatic, like ministry activity somehow equals salvation. But Jesus warned us in Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You can pray, you can serve, you can lead, you can sound spiritual and still be unknown to Christ. Do not bet your eternity on the appearance of godliness. Do not stand before Christ one day with a full resume of Christian activity and an empty heart. This is your moment. This is your day. This is your choice to drop the act, drop the pride, drop the noise, and come. Sit at his feet. Worship him in spirit and truth. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed, but eternity, whether in heaven or hell, absolutely is. Before I close, someone in this room needs to hear this. But before I close, hear the gospel clearly. You and I were born eternally separated from Christ, from God. We're not just imperfect, not just mistaken. We are dead in sin. No branches, no fruit, no power to change ourselves. But God, rich in mercy and abounding in steadfast love, sent his Son on the greatest rescue mission of all time. Jesus lived a life that we couldn't. Perfect obedience, perfect righteousness, perfect holiness. And then he stepped into our place. He took our sins. He absorbed the wrath that we deserved. He died the death that belonged to us. 3 days later, he rose victoriously, crushing death and opening the only way back to the Father. The resurrection isn't just an Easter headline. It's the foundation of our faith. If Jesus didn't rise, we're still in our sins. If Jesus didn't rise, death still owns us. If Jesus didn't rise, we have no hope. But he did. And because he lives, your past doesn't define you. Your sin doesn't control you. And death doesn't get the last word. You cannot save yourself. You cannot merit your way. You cannot produce fruit without the vine. Salvation is not achieved. It is received. Forgiveness is not earned. It is a gift. And Jesus, crucified, risen, and reigning, calls on every one of us to repent and believe. Not to try harder, not to pretend better, not to hide behind leaves. Repent. Believe. And surrender your life into his hands. Scripture is clear. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. That is the gospel. That is the only way to be known by him on that day. If you turn to Christ, he does not hesitate. He receives. He cleanses. He restores. So everyone, hear me clearly on this. some of us have gotten very good at holding God at arm's length. We attend, we serve, we look the part, but inside, we are not surrendered. We know the right words and do not live them. There are men and women in this room that have been carrying sin for so long that it feels normal. There are those that are living off of borrowed faith. There are those that are hollowed out by apathy, even though they keep moving through the motions. You're breathing, but you're not alive. You're busy, but not fruitful. This is the moment God confronts your heart. Not your resume, not your ministry, but you. So answer this honestly. Are you His? Or are you just around? The gospel isn't a religious accessory. It's not fire insurance. It's the announcement that the Son of God died in your place, rose in power, and demands your whole life. If the Spirit is pressing, respond now. If conviction sits heavy, yield now. If God is calling, come now. Some of us need to repent today, not tomorrow, not when you feel like it, today. Lay down the sin, the pride, the pretense, and just be honest with God. Because the same God who convicts is the same one who heals. He wounds to heal, exposes to redeem, confronts to restore. If you feel exposed, that's God reaching, not rejecting. Conviction is His kindness. He wounds to heal, not to harm. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, will you let Him have your heart today? If something in you is trembling right now, if something is exposed, know this, that is mercy. God is calling you back. Let the Spirit search your heart. Have I been busy for Jesus, but absent from Him? Has my service replaced my surrender? Do I look alive on the outside, but know I'm dying inside? Is there real fruit in my life? Or just leaves that fool people? If your life ended today, would Jesus recognize you as His? You cannot outrun that question. You cannot hide behind reputation, ministry, or intention. You will stand before God as you truly are. Not as others think you are. If you're standing firm on the rock, please pray for those in this room. If you're a believer who's drifted, this is your call to realignment. Return to His feet. Allow Him to restore what busyness and distraction has drained. And if you have never believed, if you have never truly surrendered, this is your moment. Come, call Him Lord. Ask for His mercy. Give Him your heart. You don't need perfect words, just honesty. Father, we stand before you exposed by your word. Nothing is hidden from your sight. You know our hearts, our motives, our loyalties, and our fears. You love us enough to confront us, to correct us, and call you to yourself. Lord, let every person in this room who has been running, draw them in. For every believer who has drifted, restore them. For every heart that's been hardened by sin, break it and heal it. For every man or woman who's barren, replace those empty leaves with real fruit. For every soul here pretending, bring truth. For every soul convicted, bring repentance. Jesus, we don't want to be known by a church. We want to be known by you. Holy Spirit, do your work. Cut what needs cutting. Heal what needs healing. Awaken what's dead. And make us a people who walk in truth, bearing real fruit, and living lives fully devoted to Jesus Christ. We ask this in the name of the one who died, rose again, reigns, and is returning, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If God is working on your heart, you don't have to move. Stay right where you are. Sit, kneel, bow, whatever you need to do. Empty your heart before the Lord. Our worship team is going to close us out. Let the Spirit do His work. Stay with Him.
The prophet Isaiah wrote, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned."
In search of a child.